Thank you, Bob, and again, welcome to all who have joined us on this call as we discuss Cameco's fourth quarter results, review the progress made throughout 2010, and look ahead to the bright future for Cameco within the global nuclear renaissance. The results we report today reflect once again our success in delivering healthy cash flow and net income for our shareholders. Longer term, Cameco remains well positioned to take advantage of the strong fundamentals within the nuclear industry through our strategic goal of doubling uranium production from our existing assets by 2018. Our ambition for growth will require a substantial capital spending program in the years to come. But we expect to continue funding this growth on a pay-as-you-go basis. Our consistent financial strength has allowed us to boost our dividend 43% for 2011, reflecting our confidence in Cameco's future, and is just one more measure of the ongoing benefit of investing in Cameco. As was the case in 2009, our strong operational performance in 2010 underpinned our financial results. We continue to build a record of robust, reliable production. The 2 million extra pounds produced last year, a 10% increase over 2009, is a testament to our ongoing pursuit of excellence in all our operations. Safe, clean, and reliable production is an imperative at every one of our operating sites. We are proud to report that 2010 was a record year for Cameco as measured by our safety statistics. We have worked hard to ensure that a strong safety culture permeates the whole organization as part of our commitment to operational excellence. In 2010, the safety record was recognized externally when two of our operations, MacArthur River and Cigar Lake, won the top awards handed out by the Canadian mining industry for safety performance. As important as our increase in safe production was, we were able to produce pounds with lower unit costs than the previous year. At MacArthur River and Key Lake, we took advantage of the flux production provision in our licenses to produce an extra 600,000 pounds for Cameco's account. This was achieved amidst extensive underground development at MacArthur River to ready new areas for future production. At Key Lake, production takes place against the backdrop of ongoing mill renewal. Rabbit Lake is also undergoing mill renewal. At the same time, we continue to develop the underground infrastructure at the Eagle Point mine that will allow production from deeper zones. We now project another 2 years of mining at the Eagle Point deposit, extending the Rabbit Lake's remarkable history as a uranium producer through at least 2017. Overseas, production at JV Inkai was 13% higher than planned because of a smooth ramp-up and better recoveries. Within our asset base as a whole, Cameco's exploration efforts have consistently added to our reserve and resource base at a rate sufficient to replace what we have mined. In 2010, work continued on an exploration drift that is being constructed northward from the existing MacArthur River mine infrastructure. From this development tunnel, we will conduct delineation drilling of zones A and B, allowing us to better define this resource. We expect to add more years to the mine's already long life as more of this mineralization is drilled up. Indeed, MacArthur River's reign as the world's largest high-grade mine should continue for decades to come. Elsewhere in the prolific Athabasca Basin, progress is ongoing at Cigar Lake, the largest undeveloped high-grade deposit. At Cigar Lake, we expect to complete the sinking of Shaft 2 in 2011 and resume the development of critical mine workings later in the year. In the meantime, our surface freezing strategy will allow a portion of the deposit to be ready for an accelerated ramp-up. We continue to project the first pounds coming out of Cigar Lake in mid-2013. At Kintyre in Western Australia, our extensive delineation drilling of the past year will allow the first 43-101 compliant resource estimate to be published later this year. Environmental assessment work at Kintyre continues while we conduct discussions to secure a mine development agreement with the Mardu, the traditional owners in this part of Western Australia. Expansion of existing mines and bringing on development projects that are already in our portfolio is the key to Cameco's W strategy. It is from this asset base that we intend to produce an additional 20 million pounds of annual production to reach our goal of 40 million pounds by 2018. In our MD&A, we discussed the milestones that we need to achieve to reach this objective. Besides our strong production portfolio, Cameco has always been a leader in bringing uranium from other sources into the marketplace. We continue to pursue such opportunities. Our recently announced agreement with Talvivaara Mining Company of Finland to extract uranium from nickel-zinc ore is an example of our ability to partner with others to access uranium and deliver it to the market. Cameco, of course, continues to be more than just a supplier of uranium concentrates. Our production and revenue from our fuel services division this past year is a reflection of, again, having full-year production capability at Port Hope, and the benefit of an ongoing relationship with the Springfields facility in the UK. Cameco continues to work with our partner there and with Kazatomprom in exploring the best options to meet the conversion needs of the nuclear renaissance. As time goes on, it's becoming clear to outside observers that this declared nuclear renaissance is not just a fanciful notion of the industry. At the start of 2011, there were 65 reactors under construction across the globe. We expect an additional 104 to be operating in 2020, over and above the 441 reactors now in operation. At least half of these new reactors will be in China, which has more than 25 under construction today. This large number of new reactors means an ever-increasing demand for uranium fuel. With secondary supplies dwindling, this new demand has to be filled by primary mine supply. For those who follow the uranium market, there's been a slow realization that the rather static supply-demand paradigm of the past has changed. The substantial rise in the price of uranium since the middle of 2010 is remarkable. This dramatic movement reflects a wider awareness that new uranium supplies must get developed. The current price is an acknowledgement that new sources of supply will require higher prices for uranium than what the market was willing to provide in the previous 3 years. So before we open the call to questions, our Chief Financial Officer, Kim Goheen, has an update on the transition Cameco has made to the new accounting rules that govern our business. Kim?
Thank you, Jerry. Good morning, all. As you are aware by now, the fourth quarter of 2010 marks the end of Canadian GAAP reporting. From the first quarter of 2011 onwards, we will report under the International Financial Reporting Standards, which will include providing IFRS-compliant quarterly and full-year financial statements for 2010. During our IFRS workshop this past December, we had the opportunity to discuss the impacts adoption of these new financial standards will have on our financial statements. Where do we stand today? First, we have completed our analysis of these accounting effects and quantified the items under IFRS for the three-month period ended September 30, 2010. As was already the case for the quarters ended March 31 and June 30, accounting differences between Canadian GAAP and IFRS are minimal. Second, we have changed our approach to accounting for joint ventures. Previously, we had planned to adopt the equity method to account for our interests in jointly controlled enterprises, such as Bruce Power. The requirement to move away from the current method of proportionate consolidation to the equity method was expected to have come into effect in the near term. However, timing for the new standard remains uncertain. We have decided to continue with proportionate consolidation of jointly controlled enterprises until more information becomes available. Third, in our MD&A today, we have provided our IFRS transition date balance sheet together with explanations of the IFRS-related differences. And finally, the outlook for 2011 provided in the MD&A has been prepared in accordance with IFRS. Generally speaking, these numbers are similar to what they would have been under Canadian GAAP. But most important, I would like to reiterate what IFRS does not change. It does not change the way we set objectives, how we measure performance, or our strategy of being a dominant nuclear energy company producing uranium fuel and generating clean electricity. More information on IFRS can be found in the investors section of our website under the heading IFRS Transition.
Thank you, Kim. Okay, with that, operator, we'll open the call to questions.